Verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sorry, of course. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We're in chapter 4, and in chapter 4 it was called Learning Christ, and we'll be looking at these things. We're thinking about our mind in chapter number 4, keeping our mind. And this week we're going to look at section number 4. The first section was, have the same mind. Don't be disputing. Solve disputes as they come, quickly. Have a settled mind. Don't be anxious about things. The Lord wants us to be at peace. And remember, we saw the peace of God which will keep our hearts and minds. 2 weeks ago we looked at having a sound mind, having a healthy mind, not to get distracted, and we'll just go through one or two of these things there for the benefit of any who went on continental holidays instead of listening to that particular message. Today we're going to think about have a sacrificial mind. We're going to think about Christian giving and Christian receiving. Not just giving, but receiving. And right at the end, he says, salute every saint which is in Christ Jesus. Have a saluting mind. Be ready to welcome and greet every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't discriminate between one believer and another believer. Remember these four heads. We'll come back to them. And the reason we're using the mind is because in the book of Proverbs the Lord says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's our mind that controls our actions. It's our mind that controls our speech. It's our mind that's the seat, the spring of everything we are and everything we do. And that's why keeping our mind good and healthy and on the right things is so important. Because if our mind's on the right things, the rest of our life will be manifesting the right things. And remember, we talked about God not giving us spirit of love, but of a sound mind. And we said, you know, remember that? You have what you eat. Remember? If you eat healthy food, you'll be healthy. If you eat burgers, but don't worry, you won't get them advertised before 9 o'clock at night now. If you eat rubbish, you'll be unhealthy. If you eat healthy food, you'll be healthy. Case in point. Okay? Case in point. And then we jump through some verses that talk about the mind and having a sound. We have to be sound in faith. We have to have a healthy faith. We have to have a healthy doctrine. We have to have a healthy mind. And then we said, Ryro, rubbish in, rubbish out. So in other words, if we're feeding our mind with rubbish, it'll be rubbish that'll come out of us. If our thoughts are on filthy things, it'll be filth that'll come out of our mouth. If we're watching wrong things, it'll be wrong things that'll come out in our life. And it's rubbish in, rubbish out. But it's true, if we put the right things in, the right things will come out as well. Remember? Remember all these things that we had to look on. Now we said there was going to be two sources of these things. Two sources for a healthy diet for the mind. What was it? Remember? What was this? If we want to feed our mind on a good, healthy diet, two places we'll find it. Not McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Where would you go? You go to the Bible, don't you? Those true, honest, good, pure things of good report, you'll find them in the Bible. But more than finding them in the Bible, you'll not just find them in a place, you'll find them in a person, won't you? And we'll think on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, meditate, think on these things, meditate on these things, that thy profiting may be seen unto all. Paul speaks to Timothy, he says, listen, when you think about things, the right things, you know what will happen? People will see the difference in your life. People will actually look at you, and you won't even be conscious of it, but the things that you're thinking about and feeding your mind on, they'll be seen in your behaviour, and your speech, and your habits, and people will see in you what you're feasting your mind on. It's like, when you meet somebody new, you don't need to be with them very long to know what occupies their mind. Because it's usually the thing they speak about most of all. Young men are often thinking about their cars. But other young men, I've met a lovely young woman. Do you know where she comes from? And you know, she's on her mind, she's on his mind, so he speaks about it. And when, if the Lord's on her mind, and the things of the Lord are on her mind, they'll come out in her life, won't they? It won't be hard to speak about the Lord. We won't have to force ourselves. It'll be springing from our heart and from our mind. But what we're going to do today is, we're going to look at a section between verses 9, or what's the alternative to feeding yourself on sound things? It's to rummage around in the rubbish heaps of the world. And you know, we've seen children in India and China and places like that who just have to feed themselves on the garbage heaps of the world. And they wither away and they die early, and you know, that's what the alternative is. So today's section, from verse number 9 down to verse number 20, is all about having a sacrificial mind. And this section is Paul, he's saying thanks to the Philippians for a gift. The Philippians had sent him a gift. Anybody remember who he is? He's in prison. So what kind of gift would you send to somebody in prison? You only send them a PlayStation, for example. That wouldn't be a good idea, although there's PlayStations everywhere in prison now. Well, you send a letter of greetings, that's good, and they sent a man. But in those days, people had to not look after themselves, but they had to pay for their money, they had to pay for their food, they had to pay for things. So they actually sent them a gift of money. So Paul's writing a letter, and he's saying, thank you for sending a gift. So that's what that section's about. These Philippians saw Paul in need, and they decided to help Paul by sending him a gift. So, we're just going to park the car for a little while at the moment in a segment, and we're going to think about Christian giving and receiving. Because Paul writes in this little section, and he says about writing to them concerning giving and receiving. In the Old Testament, the Lord had lots of names, and he called himself 7 times Jehovah something. And by using that word Jehovah, I am, I was, I am, and I always will be, he then tagged that like a tail on the end to tell him what he's like. And one of the things he calls himself in the Old Testament is Jehovah Jireh, translated to mean, thank you, God will provide. So just before we go on to think about giving, I just want to make a very important point in that, it's this, that God has promised to provide for the needs of those who trust him without any discrimination at all. God's children, everyone, all the same, have the promise of God to provide for their needs. Now, have you got that? We're going to see later on in Philippians, in this chapter, that Paul sometimes had plenty, and sometimes he had almost nothing. But whether he had plenty or whether he had nothing, he knew that God would provide everything he needed. And my old granny, who's now in heaven, she used to say, very wisely, "The Lord will provide everything you need, but he might not provide everything you want." So what I'm saying here is, and we're going to just park the car for Philippians for a minute, is this. God doesn't provide everything we want. We can't use the Lord like people use a cash machine. You know, you need £10, you go and take the money, and out it comes. You can't use the Lord to get what you want. But the Lord has said, he will provide for everything you need. That's been true all the way through the Bible. That's Elijah. But even before Elijah, remember when the children of Israel and Moses went through the wilderness? What did God do? Provided everything they need. When they got into the land, God said, "Everything you need will be in the land." What have I made a mistake? What have I done? Remember Elijah? When Elijah came to the brook, God sent ravens with bread and gave him a river of water when there was a drought in the land. And actually that Matthew reference is what my wife's laughing at. It's Matthew chapter 6. And I'm just going to read this to you because I want you to see that this is personal to you. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought," that means take no anxiety. So in other words, when you get up in the morning, you have to think about what you're going to put on. But don't be anxious about it. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" So food, God will provide. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature?" Let me tell you, when I was a teenager, I did everything to add height to myself. Do you know what I once did? I once read in the Ur Willy book, which is very authoritative. I thought I picked it up because he had a bit of the same problem as me. He was vertically challenged. What he would do is he would hang himself on the door post. So he would hang up on the lintel of the door, and at one stage he tied two bricks to his legs to see if he could stretch himself. And I never tied the bricks, but I did try every morning hanging for it to see if I could put a few inches in my height. And do you know what it did? Nothing. But I also discovered this: if you measure yourself when you get up in the morning, you're probably about an inch taller than you are when you measure yourself before you go to bed. That's right, it's totally right, isn't it? Yeah, right. But look, what the Lord's saying is this: which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Now he's not saying a foot, he's not saying a yard, he's just saying a cubit, which is a small measurement. Then he says this: "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the field, shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So we'll get food, and we'll get health, one cubit to your stature, and we'll get clothing. Therefore, take no thought, in other words, don't be anxious, because you've got to plan. You've got to know what you're going to have for your dinner. Okay, so that's not what the Lord's saying. He says, don't be anxious about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where with this shall we clothe? But after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So he's saying this, you know what the world does? They spend their whole life worrying about who's going to look after them. How are they going to get money? How are they going to get food? How are they going to get clothes? Look at this. Now look, I put it in red. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." But here's the secret, folks. Here's the secret. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The red words are so important. The Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. So in other words, the Lord's saying this, if you live for him, he'll make sure you're provided for. That's what he's saying. The psalmist said, I have never once seen the faithful forsaken by God. There's an important lesson here. We can't live as we like and say to the Lord, well, the Lord's going to provide for me. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we are the Lord's and we're living for the Lord and we're in his will, he will provide everything we need. So when we come to Philippians 4, Paul knows what that's like. He's in jail, not because he stole anything, and not because he was a crook. He's there because he's in the will of God. He's seeking first the kingdom of God, and he knows that the Lord will provide for him. So here's an important lesson for us folks. The Lord will provide in hard times for us. And I don't feel qualified to speak about that with Lily and Kelly here today. I really don't, because you've walked a path that we've never walked. But here we are, and it was hard, but the Lord provided in remarkable ways. But if we just throw aside the things of God, and we forget about the Lord, and we just go and live our own life the way we want to live it, the Lord says, wait a minute here. You can't expect me to provide if you're not seeking my kingdom first. So seeking first the kingdom of God means two things. It means it's got to be the top of our priority list. Now, food, clothes, raiment, money, it's important. But above that is to be the kingdom of God, the interest of the Lord. And it also means this, seek first in time the things of the kingdom of God. Not just in priority, but in time. In other words, don't just make a decision in your head that you're going to seek, or your heart, that you're going to seek the things of the Lord first. Make sure that's true in your life. Make sure that's true in your life. So, Paul is saying, the Lord has provided for me. And this Philippians 4 section shows how the Lord provided for him. And the way the Lord provided for him was this. Giving and receiving. And he says to them, thank you for the gift. So, some Christians gave, and some Christians received. It's always been God's purpose for his people that they should be giving people. And later on it says this, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us as people. So we're going to think, and we won't get finished today. Christian giving is part of Christian life. But here's something else. Christian receiving is also part of Christian life. So, you get some Christians who are good givers. And you get some Christians who are bad givers. Just happens. And I'm going to have to be careful with what I say as I go on. But there's some Christians whose heart is so full of the Lord that they're happy to give. And then there's other Christians who, well, do we need to? Do we need to? Not another collection. There's some Christians that are good givers, there's some Christians that are good bad givers. But there's also some Christians who are good receivers, and there are some Christians who are bad receivers. There's some Christians who are just happy that they should get be receiving all the time. You know, you give to me, you give to me, you give to me, you give to me. And that's wrong. But there's other Christians who really get embarrassed if somebody else gives them something. And yet there's other Christians who, like Paul, we're going to see that Paul in these next few verses was a good receiver. He wasn't saying, I'm thankful for the gift because I needed some money. He's saying, you know why I'm thankful for the gift? I'm thankful for the gift because it's going to bless you. No text says it blesses me, it blesses you. So, we're parking this car for a minute, and we're going to talk about Christian giving. How do we give? Now, in the Old Testament, God's people had to give by legislation. Right? In other words, they were told how much to give and when to give. That's what's called, I've heard this word, the tithe. Isn't that right? Now, the tithe means a tenth. And in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were told to give a tenth. But to be honest with you folks, look at that again. That was only the start of what they had to give. There was other times where they had to give more. And there was other times when they had to give more again. And then the Levites had to tithe of the tithe that they were giving. So, but the point is this, without getting into the details, Old Testament people who followed the Lord had laws laid down to give. They had to give a certain amount. They had to give. Except on one occasion. On the building of the tabernacle and the temple, they were invited to give as every man had put it in, as God had put it in every man's heart. So the Lord, for his tent and his tabernacle and his temple, didn't take compulsory gifts. Do you know what type of gifts he gave? He took willing gifts. As a matter of fact, if you read about the tabernacle and the temple, when the Lord said, okay folks, just give what you want, who out of a willing heart will give, do you know what they had to do in the end? They had to stop and give. There were so many folk with a willing heart that they had to stop and give. But here's what it is. It was legislated for. They had to do it, and it was laid down how much to do it. A tenth. Okay, and then there was other times where they gave other things, but it wasn't just a tenth of it. The New Testament Christians are not like that. It is not legislated for us how much we should give. Not in those terms, anyway. We're going to see in a wee minute what the Lord says we should give, and how the Lord says we should give. But it's not legislated for us. So, there are some Christians who still tithe. Okay? Praise the Lord for Christians who feel they've got tithe like that. But, the word that we use in the New Testament is stewardship. In other words, God gives us everything. And we don't just give God a tenth back, we give the Lord everything back. So we're not just using a tenth or giving a tenth to the Lord, we're giving everything to the Lord, aren't we? And there's a verse in the scripture that says, what are we giving to the Lord anyway that he never gave to us in the first place? We're only giving back to the Lord what he gave to us. But we're going to look here at guidance for how Christians should give. We should be giving people. Giving people. And as far as Christians giving and receiving, here's something we've got to get. The New Testament teaches us very clearly that as Christians, we should be giving to other Christians, particularly in times of difficulty. So, that picture there on the right hand side is a picture of the tsunami in that part of the world. And there was Christians who were in real, real need. And so it's our responsibility and brothers and sisters to give to help them. To give to help them. But, and we're going to look at this again, Christians, and this is what's happening here in Philippians 4, Christians have also not just to give to needy saints, but to give to those who are in the service of the Lord. Who's that man? Come on. Jimmy Elliott before and C.T. Studd, here's another of my Christian examples that I love. George Muir, not George Muir. Look, see why I like him so much. See why I like him so much, eh? No. George Harper, Harper Muir, not for him. Come on, folks. Think Zimbabwe.
No.
David Livingston was brought up just about 3 miles away from where I was brought up. Not at the same time, I hasten to add, but I was. And he went out, like many others have gone, out to serve the Lord. And it's the responsibility of us Christians to give to support servants of the Lord who are involved in the Lord's work. And we're going to look at that in just a little minute, and I'm going to be careful. But let me just go back for a minute to show you this. There are passages in the Bible that help us decide what to give. This is one of them. He said, 2 Corinthians 10:1-9. Now, touching the ministering or the serving of saints, giving, it's superfluous for me to write unto you. In other words, you know these things, but I'm going to tell you them anyway. I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that in Achaia was ready a year ago, for your zeal hath promoted very many. In other words, I know that you're giving people. That's what he's saying. I know that you're giving people. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest their boasting of you should be in vain on this behalf. Lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me, they find you unprepared. In other words, you've been given gifts, and I've been telling people you've been given gifts, and I'm going to come to you. Don't disappoint me now. Don't disappoint me. That's really what he's saying. Therefore, I thought it necessary, verse 5, to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. So, in other words, he's saying this. He's saying, you're going to be given, and this is how you're going to be given. Verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So, the picture of Christian giving is that it's seed and fruit. So if you sow one seed, what will you get? One tulip, whatever, a carrot, one carrot. But if you sow a lot of seeds, what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of fruit. So in other words, what God's saying is this, Christian giving is not grudging giving. Look what it says. Every man, as he thinketh in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, out or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we mustn't give grudgingly, and we mustn't give guiltily. We must give willingly, cheerfully. Actually, that word means hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Well, you know what hilarious is? Hilarious is not just mildly amusing. Hilarious is uncontrollably funny. So that you just laugh and you laugh and you laugh and you laugh and you laugh. God loves a giver that gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. Now, we need to stop for a wee minute and just say, we are living in an age where there's a type of gospel going around called the prosperity gospel that says, if you give a dollar, God will give you back 100. That's not what that means. The seed is your willingness to give. The fruit is not money. The fruit is spiritual blessing and encouragement. So that's what he's saying. If you give materially and financially, God's going to give you back spiritually and eternally. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So, what we have to do, folks, is we have to learn to give to needy Christians. All over the world, there are Christians who are really struggling financially. And that's true, not only, this is Sri Lanka. And there's a friend of mine called Michael Brown, and Michael goes to Sri Lanka a lot, and they've got a special fund set up at the moment, because in the tsunami, lots of the Christians were down the coast and they were fishermen. So when the tsunami came, all the fishing boats were wiped out. So Michael and some others have got this fund to give fishing boats back to these people. And so they're exercised to give to help needy saints. So there are needy saints everywhere, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, even in the UK, Christians get themselves in difficulties, and we should be willing to give to those saints that, you know, in Acts 2, you know, they had all things in common, which meant if you were needing something and I had it, I would give you it. Because when I was in need, you would give it to me. And you see, we've got to have a heart that's ready to give to help the other Christians. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, here's the thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he talks about this. He talks about the gift, and he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. In other words, we know the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Very complicated. It means this. Macedonian Christians weren't very well off. But they heard of other Christians in another place that were even worse off. So do you know what they did? Out of their own poverty, they gave willingly to help other Christians. So you see, our giving should not be because of what we need. It should be because of what other people need. It's not self-centered, it's other-centered. And you know, we've been learning that all the way through Philippians, that the mind of Christ is other-centered, isn't it? Let this mind be in you, who is in Christ Jesus. And he says this, for their power, I bear record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And they gave a gift, and this is the verse, and this they did, verse 5, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. So we're not saying, okay folks, dig into your pockets. These folks gave themselves to the Lord, and the Lord put in their heart a desire to give to other people. That's what we call exercise or burden. So you might be praying and you might not have a lot of money, but God puts somebody in your heart. And so what you do is, you don't get responded by somebody saying, give some money for this. You respond because God puts something in your heart, and you give yourself to the Lord, and in giving yourself to the Lord, you give something to help somebody else. What I'm just trying to say, folks, is Christian giving is not do this. Christian giving is an overflow of gratitude, first of all, to the Lord. That's what it is. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 16 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, in other words, in Corinth, you're going to have a collection to give to the Macedonian saints, aren't you? See what you should do. I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering till I come. What's he saying? He's saying this. Here's a good time to collect things together for Christians. On the first day of the week when you come together. Put aside how the Lord has prospered you that week, and on the first day of the week, give according to what the Lord has prospered to you. So folks, that's the kind of... It's not really, but just bear with me for a while. That's the idea behind the collection on a Lord's Day morning. Okay? It's not just we need money for the electricity. What it is, as the Lord has prospered us in the week, we are not given to the hall on Sunday morning. We are given to the Lord on Sunday morning. That's what we're doing. We're not given to support the hall. We're given to support the work of the Lord on a Sunday morning. So, it says this, you must lay by in store as God has prospered them. So here's the thing. We are all not expected to give the same amount. Alright, you understand that? Because God prospers some people more than other people. And so, there are times when it might be only a little that we can lay aside, other times maybe a lot that we can give aside. So there's no legislation. So on a Lord's Day morning, do you know what our collection is? It's part of our worship for the Lord. We're actually sacrificing our money for the work of the Lord. So that's what he was told to do. On the first day of the week, you do the collection. Don't just be always saying we'll have a collection for this and a collection for that. Determined, disciplined, on the first day of the week, give. Now, there's other angles to that we could talk about, and maybe one or two folks are thinking it's not just as simple as that. You're actually right. But that's basically the guidance. So, we'll look at the time. So, if you give to the service of the Lord, and that means giving to servants of the Lord. And this brings us back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 is a servant of the Lord who's given up everything for the Lord, to serve the Lord, and Christians helping him with that work that he's involved in. So because Paul was in the work of the Lord, he found himself in jail, and because he found himself in jail and needed money, some Christians decided that they were going to help him, and they gave to him a gift to the servant of the Lord. Now, let me just say this. Let's reverse a wee bit back into this passage. God provides for all his people without exception. There's no people deserve his care more than other people. Okay? So God provides in remarkable ways for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody is more deserving of God's care than another Christian. Okay, you got that? But there are times when God says to a Christian, okay, what I want you to do now is this. I want you to leave your trust on a worldly support, serve me, and I'll look after you. There's times when that happens. It doesn't mean that person deserves more support from the Lord. It just means the Lord's asked them to live in a different type of way. Am I confusing you? Let me think about something right here. Remember when the Lord came to the disciples? And he said to the disciples, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Remember that? What the Lord asked those disciples to do that day was this. He said, leave your nets. In other words, the things that you're using to make a living, leave that behind. Then he said this, leave your boats. Now what were the boats? The boats were the kind of security for the future. Because they knew that if they went away, they could always come back to their boats and pick it up again. The Lord said, no. Leave your nets, leave your boats. And then he said this, leave your family. And then he said this, they forsook all and followed him. Now every Christian should be a disciple of the Lord. But what I'm saying to you is, Philippians 4 is about a man who in a very special way heard the call of God to serve him and literally left everything behind. He left his job, he left everything just to go and spend his whole life serving the Lord. Now, people who do that need looked after. They need to eat, they need to... And the Lord promises to do that, but he uses us to support the people who do that. That's his way of doing it. So, I mean, we could look at other things, but let me look at this. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now that's not just every gospel preacher should get his expenses for covered. That's right and proper. But what he's saying is, those who had a call from God to do this specially, we as Christians have a responsibility. So folks, missionaries that have gone out, people that are preaching, have got families, they need Bibles, they need literature. It's our responsibility as Christians to support these ones in the work of the Lord. And that's what he's saying. And Paul's thanking these people in Philippians for doing that for them. He really, really is. Now, just let me say something else before we go any further. So, does that mean every Christian can say, okay, I'm going to give up my job and I'm going to serve the Lord and the saints will look after me? No. That has got to be a special call from God on your life. So, sometimes when we go to missionaries, when missionaries go out to Africa and other places, they have what's called a commendation meeting, and at that meeting, they'll tell everybody how God called them. And I like to go to them because sometimes I listen and I think, But sometimes you hear a story, and that story is so clear that God has put a call on that person's life to do something specifically. That's when I say in my heart, praise the Lord, I'm going to support these people. Because that's what this Philippians 4 is all about. So, we're not going to finish. So I'm just, so he talks, have a look at this, and you go, verse 10 talks about his Philippians' concern. The Philippians were concerned to support Paul. Just run through this quick. Verse 11, Paul's contentment. He said this, listen, thank you for your gift, but you know what? I have learned in every state I am, therewith to be content. Then he says in verse 12, I've got confidence. I've got real, real confidence. He says this, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to hungry, to abound in suffering need. In other words, I've got confidence in the Lord. He's done it in the past, he's doing it in the present, and he'll do it in the future. He'll look after me. And he says in verse 14, the Philippians' commendation. Notwithstanding, you've done well that you've sent to me. You've communicated with my affliction. Verse 15 he says, the Philippians' consistency, this is not the first time you've sent a gift to me. You've done it once and again. So in other words, we shouldn't just be giving like, I don't know, like just throwing something in the air to somebody, like tossing a coin and a fountain. We should have burdens and concerns and support people consistently. You know, take a missionary somewhere and don't just send them something once. Have it in your heart and just, you know, you give consistently. Verse 17, Paul's craving, look at his craving. I have a gift, but I desire it to abound to your account. In other words, my desire for your gift, my craving is that the Lord will bless you through giving this gift. Verse 18, the Philippians' consecration, it was an odour of a sweet smelling savour unto God. In other words, what they were doing was an act of worship to the Lord. It wasn't just pleasing Paul. Paul wasn't just saying, thanks for the money, you please me. He said, you know what you've done? And given this to me, you've pleased the Lord. You've actually pleased the Lord. And in verse 19, he says this, Paul's confidence, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ. In other words, you'll never lose by giving. You'll never lose by giving. God will supply my need, and God will supply your need. And by giving, you won't be forgotten by the Lord. Then he can say this, I can do all things through Christ, who keeps on pouring his strength into me. And we don't have time to look at any more. I've run over the time. I'm really sorry about that. But the idea is this, folks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God is a giving God, and he expects us to be giving people as well. And primarily we've got to give to support believers that are in need, the saints, or believers that are in difficulty, and I would love to spend some more time just thinking about how we can help people like that, but also to give for the furtherance of the work of the Lord, to see the gospel preached and the gospel prosper and his people strengthened. We should be given for that regard. And I'm conscious that I'm often in the receiving end, for which I give God thanks and the saints thanks, so I'm also conscious that I have to be very careful about what I say about these things. So let's just pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace towards us, for the giving of the Lord Jesus, for the giving of the gift of eternal life. And we pray, Lord, that there would generate in our hearts a giving spirit, to give ourselves first to the Lord, and then to give ourselves to the work of the Lord, that we might be for thy glory, a praise, a worship, a sweet smelling odour unto thyself. So bless us, take us home in safety, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Folks, you need to pray for Bartholomew tonight. He's preaching, he's taking the meeting tonight.
Jump to